Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, June 2nd, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like this show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 356. I have a super special return guest. You know him. You love him. He's comedian, writer, and black dad, Randolph Terrence. Going to share that conversation with you in a bit. Right now, I'm recording this intro. I'm in my apartment, on my couch, NBA Finals on mute, and I'm having a grand old time, you guys. Toronto's up by about 4. And it's a good game. They're going back and forth. They got DeMarcus Cousins in the game. He started. He's fouling the shit out of people. He's trying to get his legs back. This is really interesting. I'm rooting for the Raptors. I'm rooting for the Raptors because I do not like the disrespect that folks seem to have for Kevin Durant. I know he's a millennial. I know he has a burner account. Despite all that, he's one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. And I do not tolerate disrespect from one of the greatest NBA players to ever live, especially because he's from Prince George's County, Maryland. And I will not stand for that. So I like seeing the Raptors do their thing. And we'll see what happens. We'll see. So that's going on. I just got back earlier today from being in Atlantic City at the Borgata. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you got a Borgata session from me where I talked about my week. I blabbed for a good long while. So if you're in need, so Randolph told me there's no three guys on this week because Andy was on vacation. So if you're mad at Andy, don't be. He has to let him live his life. Let him live a life worth commenting on. And I'm sure he'll have great stories for you when the show comes back. So right now you just have me. I'm not the only podcast out there. But if you're into that universe of what, you know, they're not there. So you got Randolph here. You got a Patreon episode. Subscribe. I'm telling you, there's good content over there. I would not lie to you. You can think it's just movie reviews on the surface. It's not. It's other shit there, too. The movies are just there's a lot of movie reviews, and we get really extensive over there and stuff. But there's more than meets the eye. But either way, I just got back from AC, had some great shows down there. Got to see one of my all-time favorite musicians, Eric Roberson. Talked about that, too. Posted a couple clips on the Instagram. Posted my meal that I had at the venue, Kelsey's, in Atlantic City. If you ever find yourself in Atlantic City, wanting some food, wanting something to eat, wanting your needs satiated, go to Kelsey's in the heart of Atlantic City. The food is terrific. So good. What else? I didn't talk about this on the Patreon. I saw Ma. I was super excited to see that movie. It was okay. I didn't really like the ending. I felt like even for the movie to be relatively short, it felt like the pacing, I don't know, it was interesting, but it was really cool to see a black woman in a horror movie, because it was a Blumhouse flick. And I was entertained. I did enjoy it. I think a couple times, I laughed where nobody else was laughing. And I saw it at this really cool theater, this place called the Tilton Square Theater. It's in this place called, it's in Northridge, New Jersey. And it was a theater that got renovated, I believe, in I guess they put it, it reopened April of this year. And it's really nice. It's like stadium, it's stadium seating, and the seats recline. There's reserved seats and all that stuff. And yeah, it was really cool. And a lot of times, like, you, when you have reclining seats in theaters like that, there's no space for people to walk around you. They have plenty of space, like Sony digital projection screens and all that. Really, really nice theater. So the next time I'm down there and I'm seeing a movie, I'm going to Tilton Square over the Regal, I'm going to say. Yeah, I like these, like, movie theaters in small town America are some of the better theaters, I think. But they weren't really the price. Now, like, as opposed to upstate New York, the prices were, it was the same. I paid like close to $16 for a matinee for a 12:40 show, the first show of the movie, for that day. It's like the same, but, it's a really nice theater. So the next time I'm down there, I'll go and visit that movie theater again. What else? I just finished watching When They See Us, the Ava DuVernay miniseries about the Central Park Five, and it is it's pretty fucking brutal. It's a heavy, it's a hard watch, but it's very good. It's gonna win. I think it's gonna win a lot of like Golden Globes and Emmys and stuff. It should. It should. Cause this the black trauma, young. You know, it's this. I feel some kind of way about it. Randolph and I talk about it, but this flick, it's like a 4-hour movie. It's pretty fucking incredible, and the acting is amazing. And what she does with a lot of she does some interesting things, especially in the last episode 4. It's pretty fucking terrific. Not the easiest watch. I think what I'm gonna watch next is Fleabag, because everybody's been raving about that. White Twitter, black Twitter. And when, shout out to Main Shar and I believe Ba from the Hot Fire Starter podcast, like, they were talking about it. So I was like, okay, now if these folks are talking about it, I got to check it out. So the plan was to finish Killing Eve, which I did earlier this week. It was fine. I finished season 2. If they were to end it there, it would be cool. Because I kind of don't really see the point after this one. Because it seemed like that. And because it's a British series, well, it's like, I think it was on AMC, but because it is a British series. But anyway, I feel like they fulfilled that show's purpose. And so the creator of that, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I guess she's the creator. She's an EP or something of that show. She created this show called Fleabag. That's an Amazon series. Everybody's raving over it. So I'm like, okay, I got to check that out. Luther's back tonight. I'm recording that. I don't know if I want to watch that episode like week to week. I think I want to wait until they're all done. So like for another 4 to 5 weeks or so, watch that and then just binge watch it one day. Get a nice beverage and binge watch that joint. Like Klay Thompson came to play, man. He's the only one really holding it down for the Warriors. Kyle Lowry hit a 3, 42-32. Klay Thompson got a shape up and he's been balling, you know. He's not for play. DeMarcus just shot it. DeMarcus just made it 3. So What else? Is there anything else? Subscribe to the Patreon page. It's good shit over there, like I've said hundreds of times. Randolph and I just decided to do a pod. We were shooting the shit on the phone the other day, last week. I was like, you know, we should do a pod, bro. We should just fucking talk, lay one down, and just, you know, kind of just shoot the shit. So we did that. And here's evidence of that. Me and one of my OGs, Randolph Terrence. Enjoy it, folks. All right. So you just got back from a soccer game?
Soccer game, yeah.
How did it go?
One yesterday, one today. They lost by 2-1.
What kind of team were they playing?
Big white girls.
Oh, big white girls?
Yeah.
Those are always the demise of a team that's kind of small and fast.
Right, right.
I remember when I was playing football, we got to the county championship game, and we lost to these kids in Wheaton. Our team, they were like big, like corn-fed white kids. Yeah. Looked like they were.
Yeah. Like this girl, my kid was battling with this girl up the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
For the ball, the girl was big.
Did you
see mine off, and then mine was battling backwater, trying to push her out of the way? But girl, she's big.
How did Ava do?
That's fine.
Is she a defender? What kind? I don't know soccer that well.
I don't know. She plays wing, I guess.
Okay.
And she plays in goal.
Okay. Did you see that Nike commercial with the little light beige girl running with everybody?
No, it's this one.
It's one where it's pretty cool. It's like, it's actually really cool. It's like this.
Nike's trying to get some more of that black dollar.
I guess so. They're trying to, they got some of mine because they had a Memorial Day sale. And I just got some, I just got some Air Force Ones. I got two per, like as Nelly would say. I'd never had any Air Force Ones before. So they were on sale and I was like, I can't let that go.
Yeah,
I needed some show shoes. That's my
Air Force Ones. That's your show shoe.
It's gonna go into the rotation. I have some Kevin Durant, some KD 11s that are pretty neat that I like, and I have some Jordan 4s that I'm gonna wear when I record my album. Whenever the fuck that is.
There you go.
So that's you know.
You'll be comfortable out there.
Yeah, because I don't consider, like, I went to see Eric Roberson last night. And
yeah, how was that? Because he's coming to the Kennedy Center this month.
Yeah, well, you need to get tickets because you and the Queen need to go to that. He's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
He's so good. It's just like it's effortless with him. What? It's just the way he sings. It's just like he's talking, you know. Are you in trouble?
Did water get to that? No, not this time? Okay. I was trying to be quiet about that, but. So the show was really good?
Yeah, he was great.
How long was it?
Well, he did over an hour, but I had to leave because I had to get back to the casino. But I was trying to think of this. I was doing the Patreon episode, and I figured maybe you would know this. Is there a Bruce Lee quote where he talks about water and flow?
Yeah, be like water. Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe I heard that from you.
Maybe.
Yeah, like it
be
was
like water.
Yeah, he was just like, it was effortless. Like the way he sings is the way that, like, we're talking right now, just regular. And it was just he was awesome.
That's the quote about being like water. It's like you put water in a teapot, it becomes a teapot. You put water in a cup, it becomes a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Water can flow gently. Water can also raise and smash.
Yeah.
You know, be formless like water.
Basically. Yeah. There it is.
Effortless. Water is effortless.
So my
it can't be stopped.
There you go. So I said this morning when I was recording the Patreon episode, I said, I'll get Randolph to tell me because I think it's the quote that I got from him. Yeah. Yeah. So he was great. And I had one of the best sets I ever had after watching that.
Oh, absolutely. You were inspired.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's happened to me twice this year. February, I saw Burr, and I had a show in a hell room. That could have been a hell room easily, in like a like one of those lodges, Elks lodges. Yeah. And then there, then this one last night, and it was awesome. So yeah, I check out that. I'll try to find that Nike commercial and send it to you, because it is pretty cool, and like a lot of people are kind of going crazy over it, and for a good reason. I was surprised they used a nice, cute little beige girl running with these soccer players and stuff.
Gotta get that brown daughter. Also, got to look progressive.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely.
Is bringing Richie Young Incognito back.
The Raiders are.
Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah, it doesn't. Incognito back. Yeah, they don't care.
Well, that's for some people. Black people don't care.
Yeah, why would they?
They don't care.
Yeah.
It don't matter. They got Nick Bosa now. Mm-hmm. Richie Incognito. Those are all these open races we know about. I say only, but.
Yeah, that's all that we know about.
Right. The black people don't care, so.
That, the NFL. That game is just. It's slowly, I still think. Part of me still feel the American in me still feels like it's a beautiful game when it's done well, when you see people at their best. Just the game itself, the aesthetics of the game. But then it's just like, you know, we've talked about this hundreds of times. The older you mm-hmm. get, the more that you see the emperor has no clothes on, and you just become, you know, you just sort of become disillusioned by it. And it's like college sports, I would say, maybe for the past 16 years, like that after that Maurice Claret shit went down, some of it was his own doing. But I really can't anymore.
It was only his own doing because of the system which he is inside of.
Right. And I know that's just another case study. One of many, but it was just sort of like, yeah, I like these black kids excelling, doing their thing, get all the money you can. So just do what you got to do. And whatever this kid that's going, I don't know, where is he playing? Australia, New Zealand, somewhere a young kid is foregoing college and playing basketball overseas.
I saw that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw him on First Take, whatever. Whose show is Green? Is Greenberg?
Shit.
With him and Jalen and the other kid, somebody, I think it was Jay Williams.
Oh, get up.
Yeah, Jay Williams seemed like he was with it. I would have thought that he wasn't really with it, but I think more of that is needed.
Mm-hmm.
That kid seemed pretty solid in his head, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go play overseas. I'm gonna go play with grown men, and I'm gonna go get better."
Right.
And then I'll come back over here, you know, and I'm going to get paid while I do it, you know.
What do you think?
I think he's playing in the top Australian league.
That's it. Yeah, it's Australia. Okay. What do you think? Like,
he's playing in New Zealand, but it's an Australian league.
Do you think, what are you going to do with Ava if she starts to excel at these sports?
I mean, nurture it as best I can.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed I said as best as I can. I'm not overextending. But definitely as best I can. But, like around here, it's put them in year round soccer camps and send them on travel teams. I'm not doing all that.
Yeah.
I don't. I think I find that to be detrimental.
It seems like the older I get, I think these kids, if I had a kid, I don't think I would want them to have a life. You know?
Right. Detrimental.
Because it seems like school is harder than it was for me. I mean,
they're doing algebraic equations in fifth grade.
It was hard. It was harder. It's harder for them. It was harder for them. Like the older
I know what you're saying. I'm just saying that as an example. I was doing algebraic equations in fifth grade. I started doing algebra until ninth grade.
Same. Yeah, and it's just like, I have a coworker that talked about our son, and he's learning Spanish and Latin,
right?
And he's in this. I was like, yeah, that's kind of archaic.
That lends itself. Latin lends itself to Spanish.
Yeah, it does. But then at the same, and he's a Hispanic.
At the same time, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and they tried to make people do that. And when I was in high school, but I just went with Spanish. I'm not doing Latin.
Yeah, we'll take two languages. I took Latin. At the time I was torn around being a doctor.
Right. Yeah.
Latin.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. If you're Spanish. Yeah, if you're doing that, then it's like, yeah, so it's a, that's just one example, but it just seems so stressful. Like I had anxiety about school and stuff like that, but college and stuff, but it seems like it's even more intense. I don't know. I guess I guess that's why they party so hard.
Well, I mean, the kids now, like, you have to take these standardized tests, and my kid's worried about taking them this week.
She
don't
shouldn't,
mean anything.
She
literally.
Shouldn't be worried. At 10 years old, you shouldn't be worried about that shit.
But they making them take it, and she's worried about it now. And even the teachers are like, don't worry about it. It means nothing.
Oh, even the teacher said it? Like, because
yeah, it means nothing.
I ain't going to have no job if you... If you fail.
Why you sound so slavey, white lady?
I know. Like, come on.
About to lose this good job.
Brittany, come on. Yeah, I don't. That's beyond me. I mean, we took them. I just don't remember stressing out about it. And I don't think
they just sprung them on us when we took them. They didn't even tell us they were coming.
Yeah.
We didn't prep for them. We just walked in one day and they were handing out Scantrons.
Yep.
Here's a Scantron of your number two pencil. Sit down, you're taking a test.
When I was younger, I did better at those, but as I got older, that shit was I did not test well. We were talking about that in the green room about tests. I'm like, I don't know about that shit. Yeah, it's I think it's hard now. It's hard now for kids, and it's hard for parents. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the right idea. If she starts doing really well at these sports, I mean, try to just write her ticket to college.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not placing any kind of thing in anything. I know she did very well in this play she was in. So,
what play did she do?
Go West.
Is that something that's a new that they wrote, or is it just
it's a musical about the railroad going across the country. I thought you'd know about it more than me.
I don't know it. What did she sing? Would she have a good part?
No, she just acted. She just acted, but everybody was on and on about how good she was in the part. So
did she like
a small little walk on thing?
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it is. If you're that age and you can say if you can say stuff like when I was teaching kids her age, and if she was that good, I'd be like, okay, you're gonna be the lead, and you're gonna you're gonna carry. I don't care, like, because that at some point it's like you have an artist has an ego, you know this, so anything with your name on it, you're gonna want it to be good.
Right,
so sometimes it's almost like you got the thing where everybody has to have a part. And I remember we did Wizard of Oz, and we had to split it up. Like, there was Dorothy number one, Dorothy number two, and all that shit, and Wicked Witch blah number three, all that bullshit. So all the kids could have, you know, a part and have something to do. But there was definitely like some tinkering with that, you know, the people that were really good, like, okay, you're gonna do this,
you gotta reward them, man.
yeah so that's good. It's good shit. Bro, how was the basketball season, because you coached, right?
Yeah, we finished 5-5 and then went out in the playoffs. It was my first season with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to have had I'd like to have another season with them. They're frustrating.
Are you gonna
kids
start
around
again?
Kids around here are softer, I think.
Yeah.
It's not just them, it's parenting and stuff like that. But the parents gave me pretty good autonomy, although I did have a run in with one father. But the parents did give me a lot of autonomy.
What did the one father, what was his deal?
He's just a fucking idiot. He's just a fucking idiot. He liked to talk to his kid.
What did you say to the kid?
Nothing. They didn't play well. So I got them together in a group after the game and told them that they didn't play well. And his kid cried in the car. I'm like, okay.
As a kid who cried once.
Yeah, I wasn't singling your kid out. I was telling all the kids.
I get it, but I wasn't sad. I wasn't mad at the coach, but I was just like mad at myself.
Well, he was, but I was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, they had lost to a team that we had previously beaten easily, you know, and they lost because they beat themselves.
Okay.
Which I don't tolerate. You know what I mean?
Did you talk to them like
Yeah, I talked to them like that.
Said comrade. See, I'm the same way. See, a lot of people. I talk to them like that. I know a lot of people get that from you, like you're the tough guy. You're a tough guy, but you mean well, and you're very alpha. I think I am I think I'm like an alpha male in sheep's clothing. You know, like
possible. Yeah.
I feel like sometimes I've noticed like certain things about myself where it's kind of like, oh, I'm kind of being a dick here, or I'm this, or I'm like taking charge of this, or I'm doing this. But I don't, maybe I'm just a little more unassuming, but I talked to the kids that I worked with like they were little people. And I didn't talk down to them. I was just like, hey, like you gotta get your lines right. You gotta be on time. You gotta execute. Yeah. Like if you don't, it's not gonna be good.
Yeah. I mean, it happened a couple of times in practice.
Yeah.
We were having a bad practice, and I told them about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. We're having a bad practice. This was a bad practice today after practice. It was a bad practice because you all wanted to say, because you all were fucking it off, but I didn't say that. Like, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know? When I went back and told the parents, and she was like, yeah, I heard the pep talk that you gave the kids the other day. I said, it wasn't a pep talk. It wasn't a pep talk. It was a simple truth.
Right.
I used to always repeat the mantra every time we started practice. I would ask him, "How you practice is how you play."
Right.
I would always ask him, "How you practice is what? How you play?" Mm-hmm. All right, then let's practice like we're going to play. You know, because at the age that they're at now, that's when the separation begins.
Yep.
Who's going to really keep playing this game, and who's going to go on and do this, and who's going to not play this game?
Did you say that to him?
You got to start playing. Yes. And you got to start playing for the separation.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you find out that this isn't what you want to do. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody tell you there's something wrong with it, because it's not. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But if it is your thing and you think it's your thing, then you need to be fully engaged 100%.
Do you think that's
time for playing like kids is over now? You got to start playing like people.
It's true, man. And I think, and just like academics, I think athletics that's even more intense. Like, because people always say, the people that are jealous of these athletes, they say, it's a kid's game. It's a kid's game.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's a billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
It's a billion-dollar business.
Right.
On every level,
mm-hmm.
someone's making money.
Yeah.
From Little League on up, someone's making money. It's not a kid's game.
It's
only a kid's game if you're playing out in the park somewhere.
Right.
If you're playing any kind of organized sport, it's not a kid's game.
I'm watching they're doing the recap. They're just running back the game one of Golden State in Toronto.
Looking
at Kawhi Leonard. Like, so he's been in the league for almost maybe 10 years or so, or close to 10. And you don't think people knew who he was when he was 12 or 13?
No, they knew.
Yeah. So, I mean, they know. So you can't use that as an excuse anymore. You want them to have fun, but you also want them, like, there's too many documentaries. Right. Like that, I always go back to that Trophy Kids documentary where this little girl was playing golf, and this is a black girl.
The father was screaming at her.
Yeah, he's like, fucking bitch. I was like, whoa.
No, that's too much. That's way too much on the other side.
Yeah.
That's way too much. All that's not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see parents like that occasionally.
Right.
But that's too much. Because you're trying to live through your children. Fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, I feel like my dad wanted me to play. He wanted it for me more than I wanted it. But he wasn't a psycho about it. I could just tell that he wanted it. And then, you know, after he saw me in theater, I think he figured it out. But it was just like a turn, like there's this movie. Have you seen Billy Elliot?
No, but I know it.
The kid that, like, he's a dancer, and I think it's
dancer.
I don't know. He's from the kids from the UK or whatever. And there's a scene where his dad is like, "You're a fucking poofer," like, because he's like, that means like he's gay because he's a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this defiant moment that Billy Elliot has with his dad where he's dancing and he keeps doing these spins in front of his dad, and then he's like gets in his dad's face, and it was just like fucking powerful. And
how old was he in that scene?
Maybe like in his early teens.
Okay.
Or he was just about to I don't know.
That was his way of smelling his piss. Standing in front of his dad.
Yeah, like it was like just like a defiant. It was really powerful. I remember that moment, and like, I remember because I was in college, and that's when the movie was like all popular and shit. Then they made it into
both you wanted to get up in your dad's face and quote some Macbeth at him.
No, because my dad was supportive.
What light through yawn?
There is no terror, Cassius, in your threats, for I am armed so strong in honesty that they pass by me as the idle wind.
All of it is faith.
No, my parents were supportive. They would come. They would come to the shows. They would hold the curtain until my parents got to the theater if they were running late. I remember one time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, one time they'd have to do that. They did it like
Ava
maybe
one. Ava did that once at a talent show last year. They told me that she was going to go on at sometime, and she went on at an earlier time, and she wouldn't go on until I got there.
Wow.
Yeah, so then one of them, I was in the house just getting dressed here, and I was heading over, and then one of the mothers, because the queen was out of town, so one of the mothers contacted her, and then she texted me, "He was going to go on, and she's waiting for you." I was like, "Oh, well, y'all told me another shit." So I went on over there.
Yeah.
And then I went in, and then she wouldn't go on until she came out and saw me standing in the audience, and then she went back, and she did.
Did
some
the
little made-up dance. Some little made-up dance she did.
Well, the Billy Elliot thing, you know how one those times where you're just like, you know, this woman that I worked with, she was on staff. She's like, "Oh, my God, Billy Elliot, it's so fun. It's so good. It's so good." I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And she let me borrow the DVD, and I watched it, and I cried. I was like, "Yeah, really, whatever." And then that scene got me, because his dad was like a workman, like a laborer, and you know, and he was like a dancer and shit. But yeah, I was lucky in that regard. But even still, like, and you kind of have. What I wanted to ask you: do you think, like, you being a comedian, you being an artist, provides you with more perspective than the average parent who's like others?
I don't know if more than others. I do know that it's helped me.
Okay.
But I don't know if more is the right thing to say, but I'll say that it's definitely helped me.
Okay. Definitely helped me. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as letting her, encouraging her to do as many creative things as she possibly can, as well as academic things, and trying to mend the two. Yeah, it's definitely helped me.
It makes you more. It makes them more well-rounded when they do a lot of stuff.
But, well, it just makes me kind of miss what I didn't have.
Mm.
And I had it on some level, but I didn't have, like, I was thinking back. I was talking to my wife about it that, you know, we didn't have guidance counselors worth a damn in the school I went to.
Oh, really?
I don't ever recall seeing a guidance counselor.
Damn.
You know? Public school? Shit. You don't see no guidance counselor. You ain't seen a guidance counselor unless you're fucking up. If you're not fucking up, and if you're just solidly in the middle, you don't see guidance counselor.
Mm.
If you're on the top end, you do see them because that's who they look out for, the guidance counselors. If you're on the bottom end, you see them, because in particularly with black kids, they're trying to figure out how to get you in that prison pipeline program. Or if you're a white kid, they're trying to save you. But if you're kind of just solidly in the middle, like I was, you don't see guidance counselors. No one is there to tell you, to give you any type of guidance. So you get guidance from your parents. And if you have black parents is, you got to get that good job. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
So it's not going to mean anything of explore your life and figure out what it is. Unless you got really lucky.
I did, yeah.
Because a lot of it is just, unless you know somebody in the game, why would they believe that you can do well in it?
Yeah, and then I was at a college preparatory school where it was intense, and then there was the pressure I put on myself was just like, you know, my parents are paying, you know, they're busting their ass and paying for this shit, and like, you want to go to school. I saw my cousins do it. My cousins, you know, one of their twins, one of them was super smart. That for some, he kind of made him. I don't want to put all. He's very smart, and his twin brother, was all good. You know, they did that. I watched them because they were 2 years ahead of me, and we went to the same school.
Right.
So I watched the path. Like, you know, they'd be like, when you get in seventh grade, it's going to be hard. And then I was like, okay. But it wasn't. And then, you know, they would say, oh, when you get to 10th grade, you know, I would see them go through everything. So I kind of had people to watch and look up to. And then that school, like, when I got to college, it was like, okay, it's going to be different. There's going to be a different type of workload. But the work wasn't, I was prepared for the work.
Right.
And then the other things I had to deal with, the social stuff, that was another, you know, another thing that I had to deal with and learn how to grow up. But yeah, it was competitive, but you know, they would still favor certain kids, and I did well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was in the National Honor Society and stuff like that. But I think I was talking about this on a few episodes back when it came to like the It's Academic team. We had like a quiz. It was a quiz bowl show that was on the NBC affiliate on Saturday mornings. And I wanted to be on there, and they wouldn't let me be on there. They had these other kids that would lose to the black school. They would lose to Banneker. Banneker would beat the shit out of everybody.
And it's the black school.
Yeah, the black school. And they wouldn't put me on there.
Did you feel conflicted? Like,
No, because
they're beating us, but I'm happy they're winning.
I just knew they were. I just respected them, that they were super smart, and I was glad that they won because they were black.
All black kids, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't, you know, but I wanted to be able to go against them, so they didn't put me on there, and I was on like the Black Pursuits team, which is just like Black History trivia. And the couple other people that were with me got scared by the hot stage lights of public access TV. So they
Nobody's
got
watching, dude.
Yeah, they were kind of shook. And
I remember being on a public access dance show when I was a teenager.
Oh my God, did you dance
in Texas? Yeah, I used to dance all the time. I was in a dance group.
Oh really? I think you talked about what kind of dance would you do.
You just did routines.
Okay.
You know, just did routines. Not breakdance. Remember, breakdance was kind of over at that point.
Did you dance till Sylvester?
No. I can't remember the music you used to dance to. It would be like, I don't know, like Houdini and Run DMC. And,
oh, okay. You know. That's cool. I think the only other public access thing I did was this Staten Island comedy show where you do a set. Yeah. And then you do like a Tonight Show thing where you talk to the host.
Panel?
Yeah. I did panel. I was like 2 or 3 years in.
Yeah.
Oh, public access. Oh,
Staten Island of all places.
You know, people shit on Staten Island, but
deservedly so.
I mean, the racism and this one thing. Exactly. Yeah, I guess, I don't know.
ask Eric Garner's family. But.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was trying to keep it light, but.
Trying to sugarcoat it.
Well, you know, people shit on Jersey a lot. And I
deservedly so.
I don't think there's nice places in Jersey.
Okay.
There are.
You're right. There are. Of course there are.
Yeah,
it's nice places everywhere. There's a lot of shitholes in Jersey too.
Well, I think that's it. I just the more that I travel.
Sorry, Jersey listeners, but you know what it is. Y'all live there.
It's not all bad though. It's like
I didn't say it was all bad. I just said there's a lot of this. Weird little pockets of racism and ignorance.
Oh God, yeah. You know? Well, I was talking about this the other day. I always talk about my favorite pizza spot in Jersey, where like it's always me and maybe one other brown person, like an Indian guy. And my listeners will hate this, but I'll fucking say it. We're talking about it now. They were watching the news in the bar, and I was sitting. They have a bar, and then they have like a couch area. And I was looking at the TV, and Nancy Pelosi came on, and this old white lady was like, "She's the problem." And I was like, "Is it really her or is it you? Because I know you didn't vote for her.
Yeah, I think you're the problem, old lady. Die."
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, man. But I think they have a Royal Farms. I didn't know they had them far up.
Yeah, they got the chicken spot.
That chicken's fucking expensive, dude.
Supposed to be good though. I don't recall ever having it.
It's good. I got some today because I saw that I got some gas there, and I was like, I'll just get some, and I'll have some later on. It's not bad.
There was this chicken spot up the street from where I lived in New York in Astoria.
Uh huh.
Right around the corner from my apartment on the next block, and it was like a KFC knockoff. They have a bunch of those in New York where they have.
Is it Kennedy?
The missiles be KFC, but the words are something completely different.
Kennedy fried chicken?
Yeah, it was something like that. They had some good-ass chicken.
I've never had Kennedy fried chicken.
And they had this really good dessert, too. It was some good-ass chicken. And they also used to serve sandwiches. They serve chicken and, like, sandwiches. It was an interesting spot. KFC knockoff.
Yeah. You know the black podcast talking about chicken.
Absolutely.
It's great, though. I didn't want to, like, the last night at that show, man, like, it was a soul food spot. And so I got some blackened, I'm going to post that shit on Instagram. I got some blackened salmon and some mac and cheese and collard greens. You would have thought somebody's aunt was back there cooking. That's
somebody's
how
aunt is back there.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. But absolutely right. And it was.
That's why it tastes like that.
It's fucking great, dude. You know how a place is good when people are disappointed that they can't just go in and get takeout because there's a show about to start.
Does so they have a dance floor all in there?
What's that?
Does it have a full stage and dance floor and all
it
that?
The stage is kind of small. Yeah. The stage is kind of small, and it's just like this big. It's almost like a big cafeteria type place.
Did he have a band with
him? He had a band. He had three guys singing backup vocals. He had a guy on bass, a guy on drums, and a guy on the keyboard.
Sounds like Chitlin' Circuit shit.
It was kind of like a Chitlin' Circuit shit. It's almost like. I think he just performed there. I mean, he performs everywhere. That's like the same, like Van Hunt will do a pizza shop. you know, like it's like one of those cool, you know, like one of a, they have pizza, but they also have a stage.
We also have a show, you know, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I performed in a pizza shop.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, there was a place I did this comedy. I did Ramon Rivas's festival at this in Cleveland. It's actually Lakewood, Ohio, but it's right. It's Cleveland. But there was this place called Mayhalls, which is a bowling alley, and they have a concert stage, and they have like an upstairs attic room, and they have this really good fried chicken.
Right.
It's just like
it sounds like everything you need.
Exactly. It was fucking, it was great. It was like one of the best experiences I've had doing a festival, like just like doing the road. Like it was really cool. Yeah, man, it's, what the hell were we? We're talking about chicken and we're talking about
Absolutely.
The food was good. Like the food was really good. Like that's a place where the next time I'm down there, I have to hit that place up. And I have to call to make sure they're, I can just go to the bar and get something to eat, so I won't be disappointed. But it's a lot it's a lot of stuff going on. Like people call Atlantic City a shithole, but there's stuff going on. Like there's a lot of acts. Yeah, like Gladys Knight's gonna be there. Shaq is gonna be spinning. Tom Segura's coming. Gaffigan.
Shaq is gonna be spinning.
That's what it said.
DJing.
Hey man, do you know how much money you can make DJing if you're a celebrity?
I know. It's just, but can you do it? Shaq's just gonna stand there looking around.
Just stand there.
When he was a kid, he was rapping when he was with the Fushnikins.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, there's stuff. Okay, let's switch gears. How's the writing gig going?
Pretty good, seems like. I still feel, you know, there's a lot of imposter syndrome happening. I mean, you talked to me about it.
I told you to get over it. You should be over it by now.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know. But, you know, I put the pieces up that Reese will post the pieces. Reese
talk,
the host.
Talk about the show. I know we share listeners and everything. But talk, yeah. is it Get Up DC?
Get Up DC.
And it's the channel, it's a CBS affiliate, Channel 9.
CBS affiliate, Channel 9.
Hosted by Reese Waters.
DC.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hosts it. He's the host of the 6 or 7 hour, which is the basically the hour of people getting up and going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Get Up DC. The show actually starts probably, I think, at 4 in the morning, 4, 5, and 6. It's early morning, and it's 5 o'clock, and it's 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And I write for him and for that show. So I started off writing a piece called Another News and another piece called Most DC Thing Ever, where they will send the In Other News. I would go look up the stories. And those are supposed to be like fun stories, like, hey, here's something you think you should know about.
Mm-hmm.
But me being me, I was putting slants on stories.
Like what?
Just like I wrote one of the first ones I wrote was about these kids who keep using nigga in their prom proposals or something racist in their prom proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote one about that, you know, and shit like that.
Yeah.
I would always kind of, I would say always, but I would throw one piece like that in.
And he used it too. He did use that one.
Yeah. He'll use them. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think that was one of the few, I saw like maybe two or three of them, and that was like one of the best, like, segments of that of that piece, I would say.
Yeah. So when it was supposed to be a 2-month gig, right? Because one of the other writers had to step away. Her parents were sick. I think her mother has cancer. So they asked me to fill in while she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a one-man writing desk. It's a lot of things, a lot of little intricate things to write.
Yeah.
So when she came back early after a month, and they were like, yeah, we want you to stay for a while, so we're just going to change your role. So now I write these pieces for the what's called the digital media on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. So these are pieces that are independent from the news that go up. And so because they're independent from the news, we have a little more freedom.
And is that the stuff that Reese posts on Instagram and stuff, where he's doing like the four quadrants and or whatever?
Yeah, most of those I've written.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Almost in the last, 3 weeks, a lot of those you see posting, I've written most of them.
That's dope, man. I got to go back and look.
Yeah, he just posted a bunch of them this weekend because he was out for a couple of days sick, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the procedure was when somebody was out sick. I'm like, just keep writing the pieces. We'll store them.
Okay.
So I'll just sit up and write the pieces. Sometimes he'll bring me something and say, can you write this up? Yeah. Like, I wrote one about the spelling bee.
Okay.
Friday while I was off, because I'm not supposed to work on Friday, but we were texting back and forth. Lasky and I about it, and I said, hey, you want to do this for Monday? They mm-hmm. said it'd be a little late. This would be a good thing to put up today, but, you know, it's Friday, and we don't know. I said, well, what time would you need it by? And he told me the time. I said, okay, I got some time right now, so give me about an hour. I'll write you something. So I wrote a thing about that and sent it to him.
That's good. So that's kind of, it's almost like you're kind of on call in a way.
I just volunteered.
So okay.
I volunteered to do it.
What's it like just always having to crank stuff out like that? What's a typical,
if I got the idea, like the In Other News, a big part of doing the In Other News segment was finding the things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go through things and I'd be like, eh, it's not funny. This is not funny. There's no funny here. This is not funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then finding something and then turning it into a joke monologue right quick.
Yeah.
So, man, to write 2 minutes of material would take 4 hours.
Yeah.
And that's five. That's usually five pieces. I send him over five and let him, and he'll pick like two or three out of it.
So what's like that?
So now I write the DM, the media side, and the visual media, and then the opening credits, the opening stuff, where the opening statements for the show, and then the bottom of the hour segments. I kind of push those up with jokes.
Oh, that's cool.
Because the producers of the show write those. So our boss, the newsroom director, told the producers, hey, start sending him those things so he can add some jokes to it. No.
So they like
turn
you.
Turn it into Reese's voice.
That's dope, man.
They think that I'm writing for Reese's voice. What I'm really doing is writing for myself, if that makes sense.
I understand that.
I just write for my voice and let him shape it however he wants to do it. So I don't care what he uses out of it. I don't care. I don't have any big ego about it. Oh, he cut this line out. I don't care. Or he added this line. I'm not saying it.
Does it hurt less?
And on that, I'm reminded of, I was watching this Tom Petty special.
Okay.
And Tom Petty wrote a lot of songs for other artists. And here's something from him right now. I'm looking at an email. Tom Petty was saying, you know, when he was writing these songs for Stevie Nicks, she came to him and asked him, can you write me a song?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. So he wrote her a couple of songs, and she was like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And then he realized, the reason why you don't like it is because he was trying to write a song for her voice.
Mm-hmm.
What she wanted was a song that he would sing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just write a song for you, not a song for me. Write a song that you would sing, and then I'll bend it to my voice. I'll shape it how I want to do it. So he was like, oh, she didn't say that. He just figured that out.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to write a song for me, not for you.
Got it.
And then that kind of, if somebody hires you to be a writer, it seems like they're hiring you because they like what you write.
Right.
So write what you write.
Yeah. Has that helped your stand up at all?
Yeah. Well, it helped and hurt. It's helped me be really think about putting in punchlines a lot more.
Yeah.
And how to shape stuff to be funny. Even if it's just sublime humor, it's hurt in the fact that I'm not able to go out and do a lot of stand up right now. And the reason why I'm not is I'm sleeping a lot.
Well, you have to, man. I think sometimes there's ebbs and flows to how many times you get up. I mean, you know that better than I do, but I feel that way. Like I can't, like if I've spent like 4 or 5 days away and then I have like the weekend to do shows, I'm like, oh my God, the first set of the weekend is always like, I'm always afraid. I'm just always like, do I know how to do stand up again? You know, do I know how to do it still? And then I'll listen to myself on tape and say, well, that guy kind of had it together. Let me try to do what that guy did on that tape and then see, you know, try to, you know. And, like, you feel better. Like, once you're up there, you feel better about it. But
right.
Yeah, that's, that's always a, that's a thing. But, you know, if it's, if it's helping you, you're making money and you're doing something creative, I mean, you can't be mad at that. And I don't think bookers should be mad either, you know?
Right, right.
I think they want to see, you know, you doing other things. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing, like I said, is, you know, people hire comedians, and then they bring you in, and then they tell you what not to say.
Right.
You know, and you brought me here because you know what I do, right? So why are you telling me what not to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So as I've thought about, so this process has really been kind of helping me with think about that. It's also helping me be more assertive about myself. I've always wondered, am I losing work because of things that I write on Facebook?
And at least not for these guys, you're not.
And well, that's what Andy said. You know, you worry about that. Also, my therapist said the same thing. He said, you worry about that. But here's somebody who came and found you specifically because of the things you write.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, so that imposter syndrome.
Did I lose you?
You know.
You
that
said
the imposter syndrome thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know? That's, dude, I always say that. You know, the biggest acting job I ever had is my day job.
Right.
That's the biggest gig. I've got insurance. I can get contact lenses. I can go to the doctor.
Right, right, right.
I put on my costume every day. Like, and then you get immersed. It's like some Donnie Brasco shit. And these people really depend on you for stuff. Like, really, we have to wait till Chris gets back. Because we don't know what we're doing. And sometimes you talk to, you know, on some levels where you are regarded as somebody that knows stuff, you know, and people right. and people have to respect that, you know. And then the stuff that we get to do shows and you get to do all these cool things. And that's because you're a stand up. And then I think sometimes I forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget about that, too, where it's like. Well, yeah. Like I said to myself today, I said, I had a good weekend, got to see some shows and got to go
made
see,
some money.
Made a little money, had a hope they didn't have to pay for a hotel. And then I said,
right.
I said, oh man, tomorrow's back to reality. And
you're
then
back
I said,
to, you're back to this. Shalewa Sharp called it the struggle job. Back to your struggle job.
Yeah. And, but at the same time, I was like, well, no, this is my reality. What I just did.
Right.
Is my reality, right. And I have to
right.
consider that too. That is a part of the equation of who I am, and I can't like I know that I appreciate it when I get to do it.
Right.
Like I was excited to drive 3 hours on Friday to
right.
go tell some jokes. You
right.
know,
you should be.
Yeah,
because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know?
So it's It's a thing. It's just like you just appreciate it and wish you could do more and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's just like you are doing it. We are
right.
making it. It's just
right,
it's
right.
it may not be the way.
Yeah.
You know,
as much as we want, I do have checks coming.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I got a check coming Friday. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
For work that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and. For work I'm doing, so you gotta kind of ride that till the wheels go off. Now,
right.
You can't be a slave to that because that can put you in a position of doing stuff that you don't want to do.
Right.
You know, because you become a slave to that. But you know, hopefully you can it'll just be part of everything. You won't be a slave to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is what I'm doing. And this is what you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't hopefully, think you would be.
Hopefully, you know, for me, it's just, I'd like a little more security in mind, in my mind, Like, sure. as we're talking right now, I'm texting back and forth with Reese about what I'm going to write tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're just kind of texting back and forth about it right now.
Yeah.
Now, that should give me security, right? I mean, he's like, yeah, I want you to do this and do this. What do you think? And, you know, he's asking my opinion on things, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that kind of stuff. But still, the syndrome is still there. I don't think it ever goes away.
You
that
know,
thing of, the fuck am I doing here? That thing, you know.
I think part of it is, like, you kind of have to be... I struggle with this a lot too. It's just like trying to be in the moment more.
Right.
It's like it's all, what about the next thing and the next thing and the next thing? And then you just
right,
kind of forget,
right.
you forget about like being present in the things that you're doing. Like how, like, you know, you can watch somebody perform or somebody you like, an artist do something, and you're just like, all right. And then, like, I was just thinking about, like, you kind of think about the weekend when something fun is happening or you're doing something that you're excited mm-hmm. about, and it's just sort of like, and then I'm going to do this, and then I got to make sure I'm here.
Right.
I make sure I got to da, da, da. And then it's just like, slow yeah. down. Just slow down.
Right. Like, I made a conscious decision when I started this, was like, every day I would write that segment, and the little comedic segment I wrote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I made it a point to not go back and look at those segments.
Yeah.
So I write Monday segment. I send it in. I would watch it Tuesday morning because I don't know which jokes make the cut. I would watch Tuesday morning, and then I didn't watch it again. And I watched it again, and I listened to it again because that segment is gone.
Right.
And that, I was thinking like Mariano Rivera, like a baseball closer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you don't concern yourself with the last game. You don't even think about it. Just so what? You won. If you won or you lost, it doesn't matter.
That's true.
And now you're in a new game. Now, when we're doing a stand-up set, you go back and listen to every set.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Because I'm going to do this set again, and I need to figure out how to improve on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This right here, I'm like, I'm not going to write those same jokes again. It doesn't matter. There are things that maybe I could get out of it, like maybe brevity and quickness and stuff like that. But after I watch it, I'm like, okay, I see. I don't need to watch it again and again and again. So I made it a point to not dwell on anything I've already written.
Mm-hmm.
Not go back and just dwell over it and beat myself up over it. Or, I could have done this or I could have done that. And it's too late.
Right, right.
So don't worry about it. Just make it better next time.
It's true. I mean, it's just
try to maintain the quality of where you're at.
Yep, that's what it's all about, bro.
And also let yourself know that every time up the bat's not gonna be a home run.
Yeah, I think that.
What you
want
to do is be consistent. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So the big thing of this is just trying to teach myself to be consistent with my writing, because I still I'm like, I'm not a writer. What the fuck, man? What the fuck, man? And now I'm being paid to be a writer.
Well, it's kind of like when people say, well, you're being paid for it, so you are one, but it's people that, like,
yeah,
you know, people that weren't doing stand-up 10 years ago that are on Twitter,
right, right,
and they're doing it now, and
right,
it's like they call themselves a comedian in their bio.
Yeah, well, you're not. Yeah, like, well, you're not.
I was just
you're
like,
not
oh,
a comedian.
I said, oh, this person's doing stand-up. Like, all right.
Yeah, you're not a comedian.
Like, how come I'm not famous? Like, I saw somebody talk about doing the same set at, like, working. You know how you work on your set?
Right, yeah, you're working, yeah.
You're working the jokes, and the jokes are the same. But, like, you can't, that's fine when you're first, it's fine to do that.
Yeah.
But then if it's like 5 years later and you're doing the exact same thing, maybe that there's.
Yeah, that's a problem. Why haven't you written your jokes?
Yeah.
You know?
But other than that, like, if you're new and you're working your set, it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to write anything to that person. What the fuck do you know, man?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay. Like, tonight I'm gonna write about Central Park 5.
Okay.
So I don't know where to go yet. I'll have to sit down and think and wait for it to come to me. I don't know where to go yet.
Yeah, well, this...
We'll see.
Yeah, that's... When they see us is...
I know. I'm not even all the way through the first one. and I was listening to Ava talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're on a first name basis now.
Well,
since it's her job to shatter my psyche. I'm on a first name basis with this woman now. She said, you know, I wrote him, and it's one long movie basically, and she broke it into four parts.
Right.
So it doesn't come off like a television show; it comes off like movies. Each one of them is a vignette, basically. I guess that's what we would call it—a vignette.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to get all the way through the first one, and it's fucking hard.
It is, it's yeah.
Fucking brutal, brutal.
I was watching it in the hotel, and I was like, I gotta go do stand up after this shit.
Yeah, yeah, fucking brutal. I went out last night and I didn't get on stage. I was like, I'll just fuck it, man.
Oh, you didn't get on stage?
No, I just started the show and I was like, fuck it, and I let the other comics go up and just kind of made sure the show was humming along. But other than that, there's so much other shit happening here right now that has got me mad. I think we've had that discussion.
We talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it.
I don't like the world of stand-up anymore. I only like the creative material and getting on the stage. But everything else,
Well, there's only a finite amount of time that you spend on stage. Like, you think about that.
Right.
Like, everything you do before you get on stage, you're living your life and you're doing stuff. And then you're on stage 20 minutes. For me, it was 20 minutes last night. But it's just like before the show, there was all this anxiety. Because I always have those pre-show jitters, like what the and like you say, like the imposter syndrome thing. What makes me think I'm going to make all these people laugh right now?
Right.
I was listening to Pete Holmes yesterday on his podcast. He was talking about he's talking to Topher Grace. You know, he played And
David Duke.
So he's talking to him about, like, you see, you know, he said, a comedian is like a pilot. And you think, you say, I land planes. You can't have this confidence. You have to have the confidence that you're able to do the job, but you can't feel like you're bigger. I'm taking it out of context, but you can't feel like you're bigger than the art. You know, that's basically what he was saying. And he was saying, like, you know, that's why they always say to pilots, you have 252 souls on board.
Right.
And when you're in front of these people, you're like, we've got, you know, 252 souls out there. Let's land the plane. And they're expecting you, that crowd is expecting you to land the plane. And I was talking to, when I talked to Van Hunt a couple weeks ago, he was saying, like, you were talking about comedy. He said, sometimes you have to walk an audience through something. Like if you have a concept or your premise, like I was talking to him about an audience member, like reacting to something he said about Trump. And he said, well, he didn't really think about it because he was just thinking about other stuff. But he said, if I wasn't thinking about other things, I would have walked her through my statement. And that was kind of important. Like when I was listening back to it, he was talking about, like, Chappelle would do that. All the great comics will do that. And that kind of stuck with me because it's sort of like I was working with two comics that were – they had some dirty stuff in their material. And, like, what Andy – I remember Andy Klein telling me a couple weeks ago. He was like, I think when we were talking after doing your show, we were like – yeah, I present as clean.
You present as clean. You could say a lot of things because you present as clean.
Yeah, and I can maybe get away with certain things, but I think the stuff that I say, if I'm saying stuff about society and what I don't like about it, or if I'm trying to make somebody laugh about the bullshit that's going on, I think that's more detrimental. That can be more cutting than somebody's dick joke in a casino. Like, that's why I wouldn't do, like, it's PG-13, the event, the guy, my boss for that weekend, cool as shit. He was like, you guys do whatever you want. You do what you do. This is why you're here. But, like, you can, like, I won't do my black quarterbacks bit there.
Right.
I won't. But, you know, another comic can talk about, like, I don't know, pussy and dick or some shit, you know, like anal sex.
Right, yeah. But you can't talk about black shit. Basically.
I mean, I talk about my black shit, but it's just like,
they'll say, nah, not like that, like black quarterback. What they'll say is, oh, you're being divisive.
Yes.
You know, but talking about taking a shit on somebody's chest.
Exactly.
Is not divisive.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And so that's where I tend to hold back in situations like that, where it's just like, we'll give him a show. Now, I could have did it last night. I was in such a, you know, I could have said anything to them last night and it would have been, they would have, you know, been eating it up. You feel like you've had a lot of moments like that, right?
Absolutely.
Where you can say whatever you want to say and then they're with you. But I was just like, let's land this plane. Let's not let this ego get involved. Let's just land the plane. And I think that's important, where it's like, that thing that I got from that podcast was just like, that is true. It's like, you got to land this thing, and you got to, if there's something, you kind of have to walk people through stuff sometimes, maybe.
Yeah.
And take the time.
What did you think about, it's just popping in my head about when they see us, what did you think about the mental porn aspect of it?
The mental porn?
The trauma of it, of the mental trauma being reapplied. What did you think about that?
Just like
Rod put up a great post saying, you know, he watched it all the way through.
Yeah.
And that he's not there to shame anybody. This is not, he said, this post is not here to shame anybody who didn't make it all the way through. I get it, you know.
Oh yeah, and I wrote, I said, but it's really sad, Rod. I think we need it. This is it's necessary. Because like the documentaries and things, like the documentaries are becoming the books now, because people aren't reading, myself included. You know, I've read a Ta-Nehisi Coates book, I'm cool, but I could be reading more. But anyway, I'll say that like people, I saw this documentary, so you can sound smart at a party. That's become like, did you read this thing? So because it's dramatized, I think people will pay more attention to it. Like, they'll pay more attention to this stuff that happened. And it shines a light on society's ills. At the same time, I think it can be hurtful to some people because they don't see the variety. It's not as much variety, even though there's a lot of diversity happening in TV and film and entertainment. We're still behind. So when you see this high profile project, you know, it's black pain. And it's just the kid from Moonlight stuttering, and he's slow, and you feel sorry for him, and he gets, you know, it's you know, it's just like, fuck. And it's
you see how I heard one of the guys say today on Twitter, one of the dudes that was in, he was like, you know, the justice system is clear. It's clear. The justice system, there's two separate justice systems, you know, one for black and one for white. And, until we come to grips with that. And, I understand that, but I disagree with that respectfully, because there is only one justice system. And it is operating exactly how it was designed to operate.
Absolutely.
It's designed to operate this way.
Yeah.
So we should disabuse ourselves of the notion that there are two justice systems.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. There's one justice system, and this is how it's supposed to operate. So it's operating exactly how it was designed to.
Yeah.
You know, it was designed to be like this. All the rules are slanted to be like this. You know, a police officer can lie to you in interrogation. Why the fuck would they need to do that? So you could lie to a kid and tell him somebody said something about you when they didn't, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the kid is supposed to have a lawyer in the room or his parent, and you keep them out. You figure out ways to keep them out, and you just do it. The system is designed to put you in jail. The system is not designed to find justice. The system is designed to put you in jail.
Because I put
it's designed to put certain groups of people in jail.
Exactly. I put myself in the position of those kids, and if I know that I didn't do anything, I feel like I would be resolute in that, but then right. I've never been interrogated.
You've never been interrogated?
Like that.
You have to have somebody tell you. And I had a father in law enforcement
mm-hmm.
who told me point blank, listen, you ever get hemmed up by the police, no matter what, you sit in that room and you be quiet and you say, I want to see my lawyer and I want to see my parents, and you don't say shit until I'm in the room.
Yeah.
And the only reason I knew that is because of my father, and he impressed upon that. Now I'm going to have to do that with my daughter because she's almost at the age where she's going to start going to the mall by herself.
Yeah.
Going to the mall with her friends.
Right.
You get hemmed up, you get in that room, you shut your mouth, you don't say anything until I get there. I will come no matter what. They can't keep me away from you.
Right.
You know, I will come. Until that time, don't say anything. Don't
yeah.
say nothing, because they are not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And people will say, well, yeah, they are your friend. No, they're not.
They're not.
It's clear they're not. And we ought to be stupid to say that to think that they are. They're not.
Yeah. It's just,
they have an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like, because I think Rod asked me if I would ever do something like that. They filmed this fucking thing in New York, and I did not get a call. Not to play a cop.
Oh,
do
a show like that?
Yeah, they film. I would love to be in an Ava DuVernay project.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? But I would do it and do it to the best of my ability. But I think it's just, as somebody who's just a fan of show business and a fan of like TV and film, it's just sort of like I want to see some fucking variety. Like I want, right. and still, it's still not there because you kind of spend. I keep saying this, but it's so hard for white people to find humanity in people that they don't look like.
And, even the people that are our allies. I was watching Letterman's new show, right?
Which one, the Kanye joint?
The one on Netflix. I refuse to watch the Kanye one. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to give Kanye West any of my attention.
He's a kid.
Not because he is a kid.
He's a 40-year-old kid.
Not because I feel like you should ignore something to make it go away. I don't believe in that. I've talked about that in length. I refuse to believe in that.
Yeah.
What I will not do is act as though Kanye West is not borderline insane.
Oh, I'm not either. Yeah, I don't think.
Why are you having a conversation with a man who's borderline insane?
Them ratings, dog.
What does he add to this conversation? You're not talking about music. So what does he add to this conversation? What debate are you having? You can't reason with crazy. You can't. So I refuse to give any credence to that.
Mm-hmm.
To an interview with Kanye, I refuse. Particularly after his last couple of interviews he's done. Man, no.
I'm not in a rush to watch it.
The Ellen DeGeneres one I was watching, and she did a thing at they went to her show. And they were walking around backstage, and he went into, poked his head into her writer's room, which the writers and the producers were having their daily show meeting
mm-hmm.
after the show, breaking stuff down. And everybody in that room was white.
Hmm.
It was men, women, but they were all white.
Yeah.
Now, Ellen would call herself an ally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That room was, I would have said something if I was Letterman, like, well.
Well, he did the same shit.
Couldn't find out one black person. I know. and that's the thing. Diversity has to, you have to work to be diverse.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to put effort forth to be diverse.
That's the key word.
You have to.
That's the key. You just said a key thing. You have to put effort into it.
Yeah, you got to put effort forth. If you don't, you're not going to be.
Right.
You just won't be because it doesn't occur to you. Like Ellen would call herself an ally. I know she would. It wouldn't even occur to her that she's not really being an ally. How are you an ally? We don't have anybody of color in your room.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? You don't have any divergent voices. Divergent voices open up so many more avenues. So many more avenues. But you don't have any divergent voices on your show. not even one. You know, you got the gays covered. You know, you got women covered. You always have white men covered. But you don't have anybody black there. You don't have anybody brown there. You don't have any Latinos there. You don't have any Asians there. Nothing.
No blicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we still got a long way to go.
Here's what people will say is, well, where does that stop? I'm like, I don't know, where does it start? Tell me where it starts. Let's talk about that first before we start talking about the stop of it.
Well, did somebody white say that?
No, but that's the usual. I know the answers now. I know people's answers to these questions, the moves. That's the move. Where does it stop? Where does it start?
Yeah.
They're not even interested in starting it.
It's like this fatigue, and it's. I don't like it every time somebody, it's some black trauma shit. That's the only time that people get awards and they get nominated. Like,
right. People will be nominated. It's probably the kid from Moonlight again.
Yeah.
Will be nominated for this. Or the little kid.
The youngest one. Like, I think that kid's from like
Ball. That hit upside the head with the police officer's helmet.
I think he's a Baltimore kid, and he had a New York accent too. Like that kid, I don't know
Anjanue Ellis was really good when she went to go pick up her son. Mm-hmm. I'm still on the first one.
So, okay.
You know.
Yeah, it's gonna get awards. It's going and rightfully so. It should, but it's just like
it's always for our sadness.
I said this a couple weeks ago.
There's a lot of it.
And Randolph, it's a lot of money to be made off this black trauma. Dude, I said this last week. I went to the Montclair 2 weeks ago, I guess, the Montclair Film Festival in beautiful Montclair, New Jersey, by the way. Stephen Colbert, I think Stephen Colbert is on the board because he does stuff, or his wife is, I don't know, but anyway, I saw a bunch of shorts, 7 shorts, and the one, the black one was this film called Feathers, and it looked like Moonlight, but at a shitty old boarding school, and it was fucking beautiful, and it was just like, it looked good, and had the kid, you find out the kid lost his dad, because his dad got shot by a cop, basically a Philando Castile type shooting. And this kid is like, you know, has PTSD after witnessing his dad's death. And it's just kind of sad and bleak. And the teacher there is trying to raise money for the school. It's very good. But it's like, I was like, oh, my God, can we just. I don't know.
Can we get something happy? Can we get some of Black Panther? Can we get some, you know.
Yeah, just
something with some black victory in it.
Yeah, because even like this movie that people, because there was people were in an uproar about. I don't want to be saying the same shit on two different podcasts, but
I ain't heard it.
Yeah, it's on a Patreon joint, but it's just sort of like how you and I talked about it last week. We were talking about like Booksmart. And Aladdin, I was just like, why would you get mad at that? And then Fast Color, which was a movie that starred 3 black women, but the way that me and Ba from Hot Firestarter broke it down, we're like, this isn't that good. You know, white people wrote it, and it's still kind of, it's still some weird parts to it that should make better sense. And I love Gugu and Botha Raw, so I'm going to get it when it comes out on Blu-ray. Probably going to buy it on digital, but it's still like, again, some roles are interchangeable. Like when you put a black person in it, it could be different by the people that you cast around it. And sometimes it's like,
You got to bring a writer in who knows the voice.
Yeah, you got to fill it out in other ways. You can't just plop black people in it and then expect it to be, hey, we're diverse. You have to have, there has to be other details. Other ingredients have to be in that soup.
Right.
Basically. I don't know. It's just, I appreciated the attempt for that movie, but I liked
it's
it a lot.
It's the one about the Girl Scout superpowers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely worth seeing. I think Ava's old enough to see it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and they didn't know how to bill it, how to sell it, so they just let it kind of languish.
Yeah, it got good reviews at South by Southwest last year, and then right. It just kind of faded away, and then they released it a week before the Avengers. And Captain Marvel.
Oh,
was,
so you're gonna put a movie with superpowers up against shows that this is what they do. That's what you're gonna do? Okay.
And then Captain Marvel was out already. You know? So it's just I don't know, man. I just fucking showbiz. But hey, I got an audition to play a bus driver this week.
There you go.
I'm gonna
Right up your alley, Ralph Cramden.
Yeah. Hey, man. There it is.
Yeah,
get in till I fit in. But what else did I want to? Do we know if this shooter in Virginia Beach is black or white?
I'm guessing he's white.
Because they didn't reveal his picture or anything.
They haven't revealed his picture at all.
Because Dwayne.
They said his name, Dwayne Crofton or something like that.
Because it's like that's a black sounding name.
It's also a white Southern name.
That's true too, because I talked to my parents while I was on my way back today. They hadn't seen anything new about it. So
mm-hmm. I'm guessing that he's white. Because if he was black, we already know. If he was brown, we already know.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day I don't hear about it, the odds get lower than him being a person of color, and higher that he's white.
My mom was like, "Well, he was an engineer, so he's probably white." I was like, "Black people can be engineers, Mom."
This is true.
Like, Jesus, Mom.
But the odds.
Yeah, I know.
In that area of the country, if this was in Atlanta, I'd have been like, "Oh shit, I was burning in there."
Yeah. I wonder why he did. It's something about the job, like.
No, he's just crazy. Don't overthink it. He's just crazy. Sometimes crazy is just enough.
Yeah.
With Chris Rock, and he's right.
That's true.
Why can't people just be crazy?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Well,
but I can tell you what, stop talking about gun control and then it's going to change. Why would it?
Yeah, nothing's going to change, dude.
Why would it? The day that children got gunned down in a school, I'm talking elementary school kids, got gunned down in a school, and nothing happened as far as gun control, that was the day that everybody should have understood that nothing is ever going to change.
Yeah.
And stop acting like it's going to.
And what was that, 6 years ago?
Yeah, same year.
6, 7 years ago? Well, Sandy Hook
truthers appear. That should have told you right there, nothing is going to change.
Shooting up churches and shit.
Right.
I guess they don't care.
No, not really. It doesn't seem. I mean, does it appear that way?
Yeah.
Just go by what you see.
Oh my God, Shadow and Act fucking loves this movie, this show.
Loves what?
When they see us, they just.
Of course they do. Shadow and Act kind of loves that. Civil rights pornography.
It's just like the look at what they did to us movie. This is one of those. It's just like
look at what you done did to us.
Mm-hmm. Fucking white people.
Yeah, that's a fucking white people movie.
I fucking hate you. I just.
It's a system movie because there's a lot of black people involved in that system, blacks and Latinos.
I love like
although the system is based in whiteness, so. Can't get away from that.
Sometimes that's the way that you get to show your range when you're like, I didn't like the kids, you know, stuttering the Moonlight Kid and shit.
Yeah.
You know, stuttering and all that.
Mama, come back.
I just fucking.
Well, I went through it today, you know. Went through the rest.
Yeah, I think I'll try to watch the last before the game comes on. But
then you can watch some black people
Black people achieving stuff.
Black people achieving.
Yeah.
Directed by the white coach.
Yep.
What you gonna do with football, man?
What am I gonna?
Just pissing it. They're just pissing in black people's faces. So what are you gonna do with it? Especially this season. The pissing is coming this season. Bringing in Nick Bosa and Incognito. What you gonna do?
I'm rooting for Patrick Mahomes, man.
There you go.
The Madden 20 cover boy. That's what I'm doing.
Man. Pissing in our face, and anybody black they trot out is going to be respectability politics.
The biracial prince, Patrick Mahomes. I might have to get Madden because he's on the cover. He's
probably going to go meet with President Trump.
No, he's not. No. No, he's not. And if he did, I'd find a reason to tell you why it was okay. Yeah, I'll tell you a reason. You haven't heard my. I don't think you've heard. You may have heard my black quarterbacks bit. It's.
Oh, yeah.
But like I just that's the only thing I have to hold on to, and that's because as soon as one of my coworkers was like, "Hey Chris, you know the Chiefs got a black quarterback," I was like, "Really?" And I looked it up on my phone, and I was like, "Oh, I guess I'm a Chiefs fan now." I was like, oh, I guess that's my new team. And he almost fell out of his chair. But, you know, the Redskins have Haskins. Is that the right? Is that it?
He's got a black quarterback, didn't they? Yeah, got him from Ohio.
He's wearing Doug Williams' number. I don't know how I feel about that.
Even though they call themselves the Redskins.
Hey, it's a name of a team, Randolph.
It is. It's a name of endearment.
Yeah. So they, you know, it's respect. It's respecting them.
Even though they would never call them that, a Native American person that, it's a name of endearment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. You know, hey, they wore jackets on the field. So
they did.
So these Native Americans, there are folks that wore jackets, Redskins jackets.
Yeah. Those four.
See how I spin that shit?
There you go.
So it's the Chiefs, the Redskins,
Buffalo.
Do they have a black guy?
Thought they did.
At one point, Baltimore. They did. They had the kid from Ohio State. I think Baltimore, obviously Baltimore, RG3 and Lamar Jackson. They got two. So that's the team. That's the only thing that I have wrapped up in football. Is rooting for the black quarterbacks. I don't know how much of it I'm going to be watching. I'm going to dedicate that time to take my ass to the gym, and
there you go. That's a good plan.
You know, just do that and just get healthier.
Do you even lift, bro? Do you even lift?
If I lift,
come on, bro. Get up underneath it.
You think I should be lift? I don't want to get too. I already have a big frame.
You're not going to get big, dude.
You don't think so?
I know a little bit about this.
I just want to lose my gut. I just want to do cardio and get.
You're not going to get big. You need to be lifting. You're not going to get big.
Okay.
That's not how it works.
Okay.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to my, like.
We'll slim you down.
Okay, because I'm getting back to my shit. I need to. Do you ever, like, I've, over the course of doing this podcast, I would think about, like, you know, if you look at old pictures, I always had like weight issues and stuff. But when I was in my 20s, I was hot and I didn't even know it.
Nope. You were so money and you didn't even know it.
It was that. I wasn't money. Like, you know, there were other people that were, you look at other dudes and you're like, well, this guy's cooler than hotter than me. I was thought like, I was like, I was all right. I was all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're so money, dude. You didn't even know it.
I'm like a bear, like a big bear with these claws.
Like a big bear. It's like a big bear.
Did I tell you? I didn't tell you this. Andy and Paul Verzi made fun of me. So
what? What'd you do?
Whatever
they were making fun of, I agree with.
Fuck you, bro. This is over. This podcast is over.
What'd you do, man?
I didn't do anything. So we went to after the DC Improv, the Sunday show, the last show, we went over to this bar, Rewind. Have you been to that place?
No.
It's really good. It's like a diner, but it's really a bar. And they have, this place called, I guess the club is called Decades because they play like music from different eras. But the downstairs is a bar. They got really good sliders, Paul loves the fish tacos. Andy had chicken and waffles. We went there twice. Paul and I went there twice. Andy went and did spots. So he didn't go the first time. Really good. So I'm sitting, we're sitting there watching the game. This fucking beautiful, beautiful black girl, like red, like I'm not trying to objectify black. She was a beautiful black woman. She's a light skinned girl. Not, she wasn't beautiful just because she was light skinned, ladies. Okay, don't cancel me, because if you okay, here we go. Because if we actually, if they actually subscribe to the Patreon page, they would have me talking about somebody, one of my friends that I know that that was looking really good on Instagram. Then I was just, and she happened to be a dark skinned black woman.
Yeah, you better get canceled.
Yeah, and she looked great. So if you want, it's two times where it's like, you know, you ever have one of those like wimp? I don't want you to get. Anyway, we'll talk off mic about that.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm sitting there and it's beautiful, but I was like, wow, she's fucking hot. And then she comes up to me and she says, "Hey, you know, if I sit over here, do you think I'll be able to get a order food? Or because I'm here by myself." I was like, "Am I about to get set up and get shot or something? Get robbed?" And I said, "Well, you know, you might have to go to the bar, but you can sit over here because we could. That's how we got our food. So you know." And she like sat behind me, and my back was facing towards her, and I think I turned around and I started talking to her. And I just asked like where she was from, and we talked a little bit, and I told her, I was like, yeah, we just had an exchange, but we had to leave. So I didn't really get to talk to her as much as I would have liked, but it was, yeah. You know, she was hot and she talked to me.
Want to have a conversation with you? There you go.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, but, you know, whatever.
So why were they making fun of you?
Just because I was like, do you think I should have stayed, or do you think? And I was just like, yeah, thinking about it.
I agree with the making fun.
Well, I mean, it's easy to make fun of me because both of them are married. You're married. And they were just like, it was cool because
I ain't got nothing to do with it.
You know, I'm so in my head that it's just like, you don't think anybody would like you. And like,
that's what we're making fun of.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Like, because it was just sort of like, oh, fuck. Because you can be so, I'm so like self-involved. Like all I'm thinking about is like, I'm thinking I'm not an asshole, but I think about the stuff that I do every day. I got to do the podcast and to hang out, do a spot, talk to my friends, do this, do that, errands, blah, blah, blah. You're not even thinking about like, I'm not even thinking about like women like that. You know, I'll look at them. and say to myself that she's fucking hot. It was just cool that she came up to me.
Absolutely.
That's all. And they made fun of that. So.
Absolutely. They should have.
Yeah, whatever.
They didn't make fun of her coming up to you.
They made fun of you
going on and on about it afterwards in your head, being in your head. That's what they made fun of.
Yeah, that's what it was about. I got to figure out how to add that to the, this is some relationship chunk stuff that I probably got to get into. Well, let's wrap this shit up, man. We've blabbed enough. Buddy. This was fun, dude.
A little bit.
I gotta
then go to sleep for a while.
Yeah. Are you gonna watch the game?
No, I sleep in the evening.
Oh, okay.
I sleep for a couple hours.
Yeah, you're not a big basketball fan, are you?
No, I am actually. That's one of the few sports I can still fuck with.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It is my favorite sport.
Yeah.
To follow.
Yeah, it's one of the few sports that after that and boxing.
Oh shit! So, what about this Ruiz thing? Let's close on that.
Joshua did the thing that. Did you see the meme where the dude knocked his soul out of him?
No, I didn't see that.
It's hilarious.
Because I woke up to it.
He punches him, and then like his soul gets out of his body, and his soul is dressed in like the trunks, and his soul just walks out of the ring, and then you see his soul at the airport with luggage.
Damn.
going through customs, and then getting on the plane and flying back to London.
That's hilarious. Wow.
He knocked the soul out of him. No, he did what a lot of fighters do.
Underestimated.
They get complacent. They get lazy. They get rich. Mm-hmm. They get civilized. He got civilized. It happened to Lennox Lewis. Mm-hmm. It happened to Mike Tyson. It happens to a lot of people. And you have these weird big ass upsets. That's what happens. Now here's what's going to happen. He better hope he gets to Ruiz first before somebody else does.
Yeah.
If he gets to him before somebody else, he'll beat him in a rematch. But if he doesn't, somebody might beat him before he gets to him.
Do you think DeAndre is going to fight him?
Wilder.
Deontay.
He can't now.
He can't fight Ruiz?
Well, he can fight Ruiz, yeah. But I think Wilder's already set for his next fight.
Oh, okay.
If I was Wilder, I'd be trying to get that fight right now.
Yeah.
You know, that way I could have all the belts, the unified belts.
Right. So Wilder already has a belt.
Yeah.
Okay. Title. Shit, I don't know anything about boxing.
I heard that he's signed to fight Tyson Fury, an English cat.
Okay.
He's really not that good, but he's signed to fight him. Here's a problem for them is that there was a lot of money on the table for him and Joshua to fight each other, and Joshua just blew all that shit away. Marvin Hagler used to say that there's nothing harder than getting up off the silk sheets at 5 a.m. to run.
Damn.
Go do road work.
Wow.
You know, you get comfortable, and then you don't, you stop doing the things that necessarily got you there.
Yeah.
You pay the price when you're fighting somebody.
Yeah. Shit. Well, there you
Hilarious.
Have it.
Knocked the soul out of him. Hilarious.
Somebody said
he'll be back, but his invincibility is gone. He might kill himself. Who knows?
He might kill himself.
Shit like that happens, man. People just fall the fuck apart.
Yeah,
behind a loss like that because he got his ass handed to him.
Somebody said he got beat by his after picture. Before picture beat the after picture. I was like, wow.
I said he got beat by Kid Frost's nephew.
Yeah, fucking Bubba Sparks.
Kid Frost, the Mexican rapper.
Oh, that's who? Okay. The Mexicans got it over.
That's too inside baseball. Mexicans know when I heard that shit. They know what that is.
Yeah, I've never heard of Kid Frost.
He got beat up by Kid Frost's nephew.
Well, is that guy Mexican? Like he's official? Like he's not Mexican American?
Yeah, he's from LA. He's from LA, Mexico.
Good for him. And, as a fat guy.
Big
good
fat
for him.
Boy. Big fat boy. But no business winning this fight. He's gonna lose his next fight.
You think he'll get too comfortable?
He's just not that good.
Yeah.
But he's got a huge payday coming his way. So good for him.
Yeah. Can't be
Maybe
mad at
two
that.
More if he plays it right.
How far did Buster, did Lennox Lewis beat him or Vander beat him?
Buster?
Yeah.
Buster lost to Vander.
Okay, the next fight
after,
he fought, right?
After Tyson, yeah.
Yeah.
He cashed out $24
million. Damn.
For that next fight. Vander knocked him out in 3 rounds.
Shit.
And then he didn't fight for years. He got fat.
Yeah.
He went to a diabetic coma. And then he kind of shook it off and came back.
Damn.
You know.
Yeah. Damn.
But he never regained the title, but he's sitting on all that money, so he's fine.
He didn't fuck it off?
No, I don't think he did.
Well, that's good.
He had a decent business manager, but he was just doing nothing. Getting fat.
Did they do a 30 for a 30?
Yes.
I'm going to rewatch that. I still haven't watched that. Felipe Lopez did one. They did one about him. Yeah.
You know, I saw that. I didn't watch it.
Okay, I got to watch that shit. He's almost 60 years old. Jesus, Buster Douglas. Fuck. It's been that long.
Yeah, it is, man.
Wow. I'm old as shit.
I'm motivated, caught Tyson at the right time. Knock his ass out.
I remember that shit, too.
Yeah.
I will remember watching that. But now it's just not the same. Boxing is not the same. Maybe that's me being an old guy. It's not the same as it used to be. Well, see.
All things change.
After Pernell Whitaker lost and fucking Roy Jones got beat, I was like, I think I'm done.
All things change.
And on that note, Randolph, thank you so much for your time, bro.
Thank you, man, for having me. I appreciate you as always.
Plug some stuff.
You can check some of my old writings on Medium at Randolph Terrence on Medium.
Okay.
You can follow me on Facebook, Randolph Terrence. You can follow me on Twitter, Randolph Terrence. You can follow me on Instagram, Randolph Terrence. You'll see some stuff that I put up from on GetUp DC. You'll see things that I write that the host Reese crafts into his words. So you can see some of the
Reese is really cool.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I want to meet that guy.
He's a really good dude. He's a really good dude.
Yeah.
So you can see some of the things like some of the writing stuff I do for him and I, because I like to post them up also. Underneath the hashtag GetUpDC. He posts them all the time. So.
And people know about the Three Guys On podcast.
Right, Three Guys On pod. And I am going to record another CD soon. I'm just trying to get my feet underneath me as far as this writing job.
Yeah.
The last month and a half now I've been doing that. I'm just trying to get my feet underneath me. Once I feel really comfortable, I will really get back into the getting this. I'm going to do a 30 minute. So
cool.
Yeah, look out for that.
Good shit, man.
Thank you, man.
All right, Randolph. Well, I'll talk to you later. Hold on to the line for a bit.
Absolutely.
Everyone, thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.